Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9, please. And verse 22. I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about things you cannot do without. Some things that you just can't do without, according to the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 9, one verse. If you have your Bible there, you can look on. There's some in the back of the pews, I think. The Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission." Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Now, there's some things that you cannot do tonight. You cannot be unborn. I've had people say, "I wish I was never born." But you can't be unborn. You cannot unscramble an egg. Try that and see how you do with that. You just cannot do it. Nor can you escape death except in the rapture. It is appointed unto man once to die. So you cannot escape death, and it's for sure, according to the Bible, you cannot escape the judgment of God. All of us are going to stand before the Creator of this universe. We're going to stand before Almighty God. So there are some things that you cannot do. There are some things that you can do without. I heard about a guy that was selling a dog scratcher. You plugged it in and turned it on and ran your dog through it. Somehow it would scratch, I guess, get the fleas off. I don't know. Well, I could do without that, no matter whether I had a poodle or a German shepherd. But an old country boy went to New York City when he got up there and saw all that he saw and went back home. And his dad said, "What did you think about it?" He said, "I never saw so many things I could do without," as he went down some of those streets. My wife and I were in Paris, France, and we were walking down the Champs-Élysées, very famous street there, close to the Arc of the Triomphe. And as we were there, we were looking at all of these windows, and we saw all kinds of wonderful things for me and for her. Price tags were like $1,000. And I saw a pair of shoes, and I said, "Look at there. I've got those shoes on." And a guy had just got them free because he had a bargain here. And there they were considered designer shoes, and they were about $300 or $400. I felt so good as I walked down the Champs-Élysées. But I saw all kinds of things that I did not need, that I did not want. But there are some things that we cannot do without, according to the Bible. What are those things? Number one, and the children did a good job of presenting it with their workers, that is the shedding of blood. We cannot do without the shedding of blood. The reason is we need forgiveness. Every person in this building is a sinner. And we have sinned in our lifetime. And we sin because we are sinners. We don't become sinners after we sin. We are born with Adam's transgression. Now, little babies go to heaven, and that's a whole different message. But we have the Adamic nature. We inherit it. We're born as sinful beings. "I was conceived in iniquity," David said. So we're all sinners. We're born into this life as sinners. And because of that, we need forgiveness. You see, our sin has to be paid for. It absolutely has to be paid for. You can't get to heaven unless your sins are taken care of and paid for. And we, because we're sinners, need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. You know, psychiatrists tell us the number one problem in the country today is guilt. People have so much guilt. They may not admit it to you, but they do have guilt. And we are all guilty before God. The Aztecs in Mexico, many times, it is estimated that they would give as many as 20,000 human sacrifices in a one-year period of time. Why would anybody do that? Because they were guilty. They felt that guilt. They were trying to appease the gods, and they would offer their children, little children, and shed their blood and offer that to get rid of their guilt. To me, it seems like that would exacerbate your guilt. That's not going to help the guilt. A great scholar of mankind said this: there was never a tribe or nation that has not used a blood sacrifice. Never a tribe or nation that somewhere along the way has not used some kind of blood sacrifice. But the Bible says without the shedding of blood, it has to be the blood of Jesus. It has to be the right blood, the untainted blood, the precious blood, the pure blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without the shedding of that blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no redemption. You cannot go to heaven without the shedding of blood. Leviticus, read the book of Leviticus, read the book of Exodus. And throughout all of those books, it's talking about the sacrifices. It tells us that the blood is absolutely necessary. It presents Christ as the Passover lamb. So that when the judgment came, they said, Jesus said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Not your good works or anything else. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And Christ is our Passover. You and I are all made, by the way, of the same blood, really. We're all children of Adam. We're all, in that sense, brothers and sisters in all of the world because we are children of Adam. And we have a common origin. And most of us have about 5 quarts of blood in our body. But it is tainted blood. We sometimes have friends and people that get leukemia. Well, what is that? It is a disease of the blood. The blood is tainted. And so we can understand that our blood is tainted, maybe not with the fact that there are not enough white blood cells, but it is tainted by the fact that we are people who have descended from Adam, and Adam all died, and we're all sinners because of him. And that's not our fault, but it's a fact of the Word of God. And that's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ as our Passover. You see, you're not going to get saved by silver or gold. The Bible says it's not silver or gold that's going to save us. It is the what? Precious blood of Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that's through His blood. It's the blood, always the blood. And people make fun of us preaching the blood. But the Bible says it's the blood that's going to wash away your sins. Nothing more, nothing less. That's why Christ went to the cross. I like that little cross you use in the song. Christ went to the cross. Why? To die. To shed His blood on the cross that we could have eternal life. And so Christ died for you, and He died for everybody over here, and everybody here, everybody here, everybody back there, everybody in this auditorium, everybody in the world. Christ died and shed His blood for everyone. And He's no respecter of persons. It's for all people. He shed His blood for the world. Oh, happy day, the songwriter said, when Jesus washed my sins away. I remember when I got saved to you, it was a happy day. When I knew my sins were all covered by the blood, past, present, and future, it was all washed away. And so it's for everybody. And you can't do without the shedding of blood or you'll never get to heaven. Secondly, you can't do without faith. You have to have faith. That's where a lot of people get hung up. They will not exercise enough faith to get saved, to receive Christ as their Savior. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We have to have faith. And faith is so important in our lives. It's essential. When God told Noah to get in the ark, He didn't have a lot of science and a lot of information, and He really didn't have any history of rain or flood or the ark. But he, by faith, God said, you get out there and you build this big boat, and it's going to rain. And Noah said, rain? What's rain? And before that, it was only the mist that came up on the ground. It never had rain. And all of a sudden, he's telling him, it's going to rain. And he, by faith, built the ark and took Mrs. Noah in with him and Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives. And they entered into the ark of safety by faith. And don't you know they were glad the day it started raining and God closed the door and nobody else could get in, that they were glad by faith that he had done what he did and they had listened and gotten into the ark. Noah was probably terrified back then. The conditions of the world were bad. May I say to you tonight, they're not too good today or tonight. The conditions of the world are not very good. We are on the verge of Armageddon, whether you understand it or know it or not. We're on the verge of some catastrophic things happening to our country and our world. Nuclear weapons, you just wait. If they ever get them, if Iran ever gets the ability to do it, and some of those others, there's no telling the chaos that could come on this earth. There's no telling what could happen. So we must, by faith, understand that in some circumstances that could be terrifying, if by faith we enter Christ, enter the ark, we're saved, we're ready to meet God. Now here's the question, how do you get faith? How do you get faith? Man has a body, a soul, and a spirit. A body, soul, and spirit. We're trichotomatic, we're different from animals. Animals, I think, probably have something we would call souls. They can think. I had a border collie, and she could think. She could be rebellious. She would have emotion. If I scolded her, you could tell that she had emotion. She didn't like to be scolded. All of those things. And I believe probably even a dog has intelligence. In fact, I think my dog had more intelligence than some people I've met, the way they acted, some of the people of our society today. But whenever we look at mankind, we are body, soul, and spirit. That makes us different. Body, soul, and spirit. And man only has one spirit. And what happens is we are lost in sin and our spirit is dead. It is dead. And there's only one thing that can bring it to life. It's like this candle. Because we're all sinners, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. There's darkness. There's damnation. But whenever we receive Christ as our Savior, our spirit lights up. It comes on. We call it being what? Born again. We're dead in our trespasses and sin. The light's not on. It's not on. It's dead inside there. But when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, then the light comes on. And we are born again. The Spirit is made alive. The good part of us is made alive. And that's exactly what he's talking about. But before we get saved, we're dead in our trespasses. It's dark. And so we have the Word of God. Thank God for his Word. The Word of God is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen. And it is the power of God unto salvation, the gospel. It gives us the gospel. We have the Word of God. And we have the Holy Spirit. And so the Word of God, like you're listening to tonight, as I'm telling you this story, has an impact on your mind. And the Holy Spirit of God, who is the third person of the Godhead, says, listen, that's true. He verifies his Word. He puts his stamp of approval upon it. He begins to speak to people in their hearts saying, that is true. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. You need to be brought alive. And the only way you can be brought alive is through the Holy Spirit of God giving you the light that you need to have. And that comes by faith. You have to believe that you're a sinner. You have to believe that Jesus died for you and paid your sin debt. And then you put all of your weight on that. Faith is really reclining totally on the truth of the Word of God. Not on what you heard or somebody told you. Not on what you read somewhere in some other book. But on the authority of the Word of God, reclining, putting all of your weight on the Word of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, and I'm glad that it said, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the word believeth there could be translated reclineth totally on him. It's like the bed you're going to get in tonight. Most of you are probably sleeping in a bed, and you'll put all of your weight on that bed. You'll have faith and say, it'll hold me up. Well, that's what God is saying to us. Jesus died for you, paid your sin debt, and if you will put all of your hope, all of your weight, all of your trust, everything about the future on the Lord Jesus Christ, not 20% of it, not 30% of it, not 80% of it, but 100% on Jesus Christ and what He has done. Recline on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I cannot do without blood. I cannot do without faith. And you cannot do without the hope of the resurrection. Thank God we have the the hope. It's a sure hope. It's not an iffy hope. Please understand that word. It's not an iffy hope. It is a sure hope. You cannot do without the hope of the resurrection. If Christ be not raised, then our faith is in vain. May I say to you, He arose. Amen.
Amen.
He is the only religious leader that arose. Therefore, He can say, I am the Son of God, God the Son. And His Father showed that He approved of what His Son did. He didn't stay in the grave. There was absolutely no decay. The Lord Jesus Christ was buried, but thank God, after 3 days He arose and He came out of that grave. And I'm thankful that He did, and the Bible declares that He did. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. My hope is not in this life, just this life. If this is it, I'd say, my goodness, can't we do a little? Somebody should have done a little better than that. Well, God did. He did a whole lot better than that. Christ, if Christ is not raised, our faith is in vain. Listen, He came out of the grave, so if we have faith in His finished work, we are not having faith in vain. One of the prevalent moods, it seems like, in our society today is the mood of being in despair. But listen, if we're Christians, it matters not what takes place. I believe we ought to register. I believe we ought to vote right. I believe we ought to be moral citizens. I believe we ought to do our best to try to keep our society what God wants it to be. And the nation that exalts God will be blessed. The ones that leave God out are going to be humiliated. Those are Bible principles. And I want to stand on those Bible principles. But you and I, no matter what happens, we have no need to be in despair or to worry about things, because that is if we are saved. If we are children of God, if we know Him. Because you see, what's going to happen one of these days is the children of God are going to be raptured. That is, like a magnet caught out of this earth. We're going to meet the Lord in there, 1 Thessalonians 4 says. He's coming back. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet Him in the air. And we'll meet the Lord in there. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we have that. If we're saved, we know we have that, and we don't have to despair about what's going on. We cannot do without the hope of the resurrection. And we cannot do without hope in our personal life. I hate to meet people who have no hope. They just say, I really don't have any reason to live. I don't even know why I'm here. I don't know what life is all about. Existentialism, I'm just sort of rolling along with the tide, whatever happens. I'm just going along with society, and I'm just a victim of some kind of evolutionary process. No, that's not what the Bible says. There is hope for everything in your personal life. You have hope. Some people say, well, there's just no hope for my marriage. Yes, there is with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's hope for your marriage. There's no hope for my health problems. Yes, there is. If it's the Lord's will to heal you, He'll heal you. If He doesn't heal you in this life, He'll heal you as soon as you pass from this life to that life. You're totally healed right then. And so we have that hope of that. And it may be your business. It may be the pressures of life. Some of you tonight are going through many of those things, no doubt. But there it is. Our hope is in the resurrection, in the Lord Jesus Christ. A world-famous cardiologist one time made this statement. He said, hope is the best medicine I can give. What do we tell people that are our friends when they're sick? Keep a positive attitude. That'll help you out. Keep hope. If you don't have hope, you probably wouldn't get well. We need hope. Too many people are not turning to the Lord for the answers. They're turning to sex. They're turning to drugs. They're turning to alcohol. They're turning to all kinds of things that bring them temporal pleasure in order to get this hope or to get this peace in their heart, it's never going to be there. You say, preacher, are you an optimist or a pessimist? I'm an optimist. I promise you tonight, I'm an optimist. And that is because I've read the last chapter and the last verse, and I know everything's going to turn out all right. It's going to happen the way God said it's going to happen. And I'm an optimist because I'm saved and I'm ready to meet the Lord. Do you believe in the resurrection? For our hope is in heaven, from which we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you, He's coming again someday. It's been a long time since He was here. But remember that a day with the Lord, 1,000 years rather, is like a day. And God's not worried so much about time like we are, but He has a time. And the time's going to come, and Christ is going to return, and it could be in our lifetime. We just don't know. But when He does, He'll come and He will reign. And only those who are saved, who have received Christ as their Savior and trusted in the shed blood that He shed for you, and you're a sinner and you need to be born again, only those who receive that gift. You remember the little gift that Brother Gillett showed? He showed the throne, he showed the cross, and then he said it's a gift, and that's exactly what it is. You cannot earn your salvation, friend. So don't even begin trying to. You say, well, I've joined the church. In fact, I've joined two or three. Or I've been baptized two or three different ways. Or I'm trying to do better and trying to have good works and give up all my bad habits and do all of those things. That's all okay to a degree, to some of it at least. But listen to me now. That's not what saves you. That's not how you're going to get to heaven. You're depending on those things to get you to heaven. And as I say a lot of times when I'm having a memorial service, a lot of people think that God's going to take your good deeds, your bad, and put them over here on this heavenly scale, and your good deeds over here. And if your good outweighs your bad, then God says, oh, you made it. Come on in. You made it. No, friend, there's nothing further from the truth than that. It is not your good deeds or joining a church or your good works or baptism. Think of the thief on the cross. How many churches did he join? None. How many good works did he have? Did he have more good works than bad works? No. How many times was he baptized? You see, he was saved by what? Grace. And that's what it is. Saved by grace. Hallelujah. Saved by His marvelous grace. And we sing, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. We are saved by grace. Nothing more, nothing less, saved by grace. One of these days, if we're saved, we're going to see Christ again. We're going to see Christ in person. We'll get to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for our sins. And I can tell you tonight, because He lives, and He is right now at the right hand of the Father, He's making intercession only for believers. He wants you to be saved if you hadn't been saved. But we know that this Savior is at the right hand of the Father tonight. And because He is there, I have the sure hope. Preacher, can you know you're saved? Yes. Well, I just don't believe. I have people tell me all the time when we knock on doors, well, I just don't believe you can know that you're going to heaven. Well, take it up with God. Because He said you can know, didn't He? You know what He said? And how many times does God have to say something to make it true? One time, as far as I'm concerned, and there are other places too, but He said, I've written these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Know it, have it, know it, have it, know it, have it, know it, have it. And I thank God tonight, I know I'm saved. I know I have eternal life. And I know if I pillow my head tonight and don't wake up during the night, I'll wake up in heaven. And if you don't know that, we want you to come tonight, and by coming in a few minutes, just say, I am coming to say I want to receive Christ as my Savior. We're not trying to make you a church member or a Baptist out of you, any of those things, but we want you to come to know Christ before it's eternally too late. And there's some things you must have. The hope of the resurrection. You must have faith. You must have the blood of Jesus Christ. in order to go to heaven. And then by God's grace, we ought to live as if we're children of God. When we look at what He's done for us, we have that blessed hope, that sure hope, then we ought to show Him by our dedication, our yieldedness, our service, our living right, our holiness, that we do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is not only our Savior, but the Lord of our life, and He calls the shots, and we do what He says to do, that He might be glorified. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. Most of you I know, many of you I do not know tonight, but I want to ask you this. Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? Are you 100%? Let me say it again. Are you 100% sure that if you died tonight, you would go to be with Jesus? You'd go to heaven. You say, yes, I know that. Thank God. But if you have any doubt, you do not know it. My dear friend, let me tell you, we love you. This church loves people. Jesus loves you. He paid the price. And He wants you to just walk up here and say, I receive the gift of eternal life. Man, woman, boy, or girl, we're going to ask you to come in just a moment when we have our invitation. There may be some Christians here that need to come and lead the way, break the ice, get on your knees before God and pray. The Lord knows what we need. Father, bless now the invitation. Again, we ask your help, your power. Cannot do it alone. God, I've tried to preach the truth of the Word of God tonight to these dear people. And I pray that if there's one here that's lost, that they would come to Christ. And surely in a crowd this large, there are some who do not know. Help them to be wise enough to step out. Help them to be willing to humble themselves, even Jesus, as you did. When you humbled yourself, took their place on the cross of Calvary. May your will be done, God. We ask it in Jesus' name.